Esther, so I do apologize. I'm not sure we have actually a quote from Maseches Ksuvos here. it just happens to be that this is a famous Ran, Daf Tzad Yamin Beis, happened to come across in Daf Yomi, which I've been wondering about this Ran, kind of wanting to work on it for, I don't know, 20 years or so. So this gives the sort of the opportunity to do so, and it certainly touches on many of the issues that are discussed in the area of Ksuvos that we are that we are learning. So the idea of Palgin and Dibura and Migu and things like that, so that certainly is very relevant here. And this having this Ran hover over your thoughts as you go through these sugyas, I think would be is a helpful thing. Sort of because this Ran sort of like the things that as we're learning it, so it is somewhat, you know, somewhat lemaisa, you know, how much nemunas do people have? And this Ran kind of like makes it more lemaisa, and I think certainly what we'll cover this morning shows where this really, these Mishnayos and Gemaras really do show up. So there's the Mishnah at the very end, the last Mishnah of Maseches Nedarim. In case you're wondering, Daf Yomi hasn't finished Nedarim yet. But because of the sort of smaller Gemara in Nedarim, so our Daf Yomi sure somehow has gotten about 10 daf ahead. So. So we are actually finishing the Darim, I guess tomorrow or whatever. But the Gemishna tells us as follows. So Brishona HaYomim, that originally they used to say, so Shalosh Nashim Yotzos V'Noflos Ksuvasa. There are three women who would be Yotzos, that they would have to leave the marriage, and they would be able to collect their Ksuva while they were, as leaving the marriage. I mean, the marriage had to end, and they get their Ksuva. So HaMeres Tmei Anilach, Shemayim B'ni L'Veinecha, V'Natul Ani Min HaYehudim. So HaMeres Tmei Anilach is really the focus this morning. She says, I'm Tamei to you, which the implication is that it sounds like I had an affair. Now the Gemara will, and this sort of like pops up every once in a while, and that is that the Gemara sort of limits this to really only being a case of a Kohen who is told by a woman, Ne'nasti, that I was raped, and therefore we have to get divorced. But the, and there's a Tosfos on the page that brings that up. It says, well, because in that case, the woman isn't actually usher to the husband. The woman is not, the woman herself is not usher to the husband. It's just the husband is usher to the wife, right? Because she is, he's the Kohen, and it's his fault that the marriage has to end. Because if a woman was nasty to a regular, to a Yisrael, so then they'd be able to stay married. So because he's a Kohen, so that's why the marriage has to end. That's why. Yeah. Right. That term might even be used. So that answer, however, is rejected by the, by Tosfos. Tosfos quotes that, I think, from one of the other Rishonim, suggests that idea and rejects it. Which the implication being is that this halacha is going to apply across the board, despite the fact that the sugi itself is sort of local by a case of the Kohen. But anyway, she says Tamei Anilach, so she's able to leave with her Ksuva. That's what they said originally. Shamim B'ni L'Veinecha means that she suggests that that the husband is not able to have Bia properly, and Metula Nimin HaYehudim is that she's taken a neder that prohibits herself from everybody. So that's Parishon. That's what they said originally. But Chazru Lomar, then they realize we got a problem here. Because the woman now sort of have an out, right? The woman shalotehein isha nosenase neha ba'achir makakla as baila. That a woman can say, she has her eye on some other guy, and therefore how does she get out of her current marriage? So she says, why don't I just say tamei anilach, right? If I say tamei anilach, omeris tamei anilach, so then we say tavia raya levareha. So then we say, no, you have to bring a raya that you, that this happened to you. So that's not always so easy to do, right? And the other ones also, she's gonna have to also prove it. So originally they said that a woman can make any taina, and she'll be able to, and if that taina means that the marriage is over, so she, the marriage is over, and that's it, she's gone. Then they came along and said, you know, we got a problem here, because a woman can make any taina, and now she's gonna be able to get out of this. So, and she might have ulterior motives for making that taina. So therefore, tavia leha raya. So therefore, we said that she needs to bring a raya. Now the Ran comes along and says, oh, wait a second, we got a problem here.
Would that be a shtick like a migu that if she is willing to put a reyus on herself and type of, you know, what, that she did something like this.
So, yeah, the Sershmaisa raises that that issue. I want to be Yotze Amigu Shekel Torah, so you're stuck in the Sershmaisa. But yeah.
Why'd she get her
ksuba
if she's
still... So in the case of the... Because, again, the Gemara says that that case about collecting her ksuba has to do with the husband, has to do with the husband being a Kohen. So the husband is a Kohen, and she says, Tamanila, because I was nasty, I mean, I didn't actually do anything wrong, it's your fault, you're a Kohen, it's your fault, so therefore she would be able to enter ksuva in that case. So that's where we would say it. But the Rishonim then take this Gemara and understand it in a regular case of, okay, well, what exactly is her ne'amanus, right? So the Ran here says, how are you doing this? She says, wait a second. She's saying, I'm tummy to you, so now she's usher to her Baal, right? She's not allowed to be with him. Mishnah Rishon is right, right? She's usher labal. She's made a taina. She's made herself usher. And just because you want to say, well, we're concerned that maybe she has an ulterior motive. So, okay, but where'd the Isser go? Meaning, if she is correct, right, she's saying that I had bia with another man, so where does that Isser disappear to? So the Ran gives two answers here. Answer number one is, well, which is the real din? Is the real din the Mishnah Rishona, or is the real din the Mishnah Achrona? So the first Saad is saying, well, the real din is the Mishnah Rishona. The real din is that she would be out. So how is it that we allow the marriage to continue to go forward? So the Ran, now this goes back to the end of some of our end of Yevamos issues, says, well, he suggests two things. One is, well, the Rabbanon said, Migdor Milsa, right? That they made a Takana, and that's just the rule, right? And they're going to be violating Yisurim as a result. So it's worth it. The ends justify the means. It's kumvasei. Yeah, I guess so. He's kind of like stuck there. I mean, Tosos, he says that, you know, there's that Tosos in Yevamos. He, you know, is not happy with that, but he raises that question, but says, but according to me, I don't have a problem. He says, I think we have a different way of getting out. Called the Makayash, a Daisy Durban Makayash, which I don't, that did come up over the course of the Yevamos, someplace. Come across that, as well. He said, well, the Rabbanan pull away the Kedushin. Right? So if that's the case, so then when she had bia with this guy, she wasn't actually married to the Kohen. So therefore she's allowed to stay married to the Kohen, which is like, yeah, right. So you don't see anywhere that Daran is like, well, you better go ahead and do another Kedushin then, right? We don't see that, and that's going to, but yeah, right. I don't know. The Rabban, he doesn't say you do. Now, Lemaisa, if according to that answer, you come to the rabbi and say, Rabbi, this is what happened, and we're, you know, Rabbi Ran, what do you think we should do? I don't know if Rabbi Ran would say, well, you should go ahead and do another Kedushin. He doesn't talk about that. And besides that, he says, it doesn't work a lot of cases. That only works in the case of a woman who was raped by a Yisrael. If the woman was raped by someone who she would otherwise be usher to, meaning she was raped by a mamzer, raped by an asin, so then it wouldn't work. And then he says, besides that, there's also this truma issue sort of hovering above this this thing, that she's married to this Kohen, so presumably she's allowed to continue to eat truma. So now we're going to say, well, adaisin rabban, afkin rabban kedushin minei. Well, the kedushin is gone. Well, wait a second. she's still eating truma, right? How exactly is that continuing? So the truma issue is dealt with in other scenarios where we say, well, it's truma durabanum. Okay, whatever. It's truma durabanum. Now, I don't want to get into exactly how to read the Ran. I read the Ran as that is sort of presenting that as being answer number one. We'll see. Rav Moshe reads that Ran as saying that those are all tainas. Meaning, wait a second, afkina rabbanu kedusha minei. Well, what about truma? And what about the fact that this doesn't work for most Yisraelim? So Rav Moshe claims that the way his read is, as we'll see, is that he rejects that first answer. He says the Ran himself is rejecting that first answer, and rather giving the second answer. The second answer is that the Mishnah Achrona is really correct. That really, she is not believed. Right, the vachirim tersu the Mishnah Rishona lo dina katani. The first one is not the halacha. Right, the medina vaday ena isha ne'amenes lomer tamei ani lach. That really the woman mikar din, the woman is not believed. She has no taina. Lefki atzmi baila shehi mishu bezasla. Right, she has a monetary responsibility to the husband, and her just making a taina that she can't back up in any way. So she has
bring proof.
She has no raya, right? Right. That's why the Mishnah said bring a raya. Elamishum deha milsat tmeya nilach kaseifala takinu Mishnah rishona lahamina. So why did they have the Mishnah rishon in the first place? He says, well, come on. The very fact that she's showing up in a basin and saying I was raped, right? And which is embarrassing. That itself gives her a little bit more ne'amanus. Lahamina di lav de kush de kamrola. He says, yeah, so therefore in the Mishnah Rishon they said, come on, a woman, a Vesi Yaakov girl is going to show up and say she was raped. I'm not going to believe her at all, right? That's a, you know, hashtag me too. It was all about rejecting that idea that we're not going to believe her. But here the Rana is saying that, so therefore we believed her. We assumed we believed her. So then that led to a problem. Was any woman could get up and say, this happened to me, right? And we're going to have to believe her. So apparently the alternative drives in the Mishnah Achron in the later generations was that, well, a woman might make a claim that might get her, that might get her out of her husband, get her away from her husband or things like that. And therefore we went back to not believing her. Now the Shev Shmaitza says, you know, we believe women to ask for themselves all the time, right? We don't necessarily check a woman says, "Hi, I became a nida," right? We don't say, "No, where's the dam?" All right, I'm not going to believe you. So he suggests that, well, no, this idea that she doesn't have nemanus, to end the marriage. She has nemanus. That's the first paragraph there in the Shev Shmaitza. She has nemanus to say that she's usher for a little bit. She's not going to have to daven amanus to end the marriage. So he says that answers the question of the crazy you placey, which I also saw in the Ksam Sofer, that the crazy
the need is not amanus issue. Right, so that's why she doesn't bring the right. Like when she says a need.
Right, so I mean there, Shavya Nasha Kathili Isser would apply. Uh-huh.
We're
okay.
No, the same. So no, but when she, the Rabbi Gross was saying earlier that the first case is amanus issue. So I'm saying there's a chil between the two cases.
Right. No, right.
I think the Ram was saying she's not Neman to be Mafkia herself in the Yeshiva, meaning to Aser herself. He was talking about Asering herself.
He didn't say Mamanos. I said Mamanos, and part hovering over this as well is also that she says, I don't want my Ksuba, right? But she then be, believed, you know. But yes, the Shmaitza does not mention that. He just mentions that chiluk. He says this chiluk. He says, well, when it comes to Nida, she's coming back. Right. However, what about if a woman says, no, I am Sharisa Dam Machmas Tashmish, that three times in a row I've had Dam because of Tashmish, and, sorry, our marriage has to be over. Our marriage has to be over. So he says, if that's the case, so then maybe she would not be Neman. And he says, and that answers the question of the crazy placey. He says, why don't she should be able to say, I have a migu, right? And I'm saying that I was Matai. If I really wanted to lie and not have any problems, I could have just said that I had a raised on Machmas Tashmish, and that would have been a much, cleaner taina. I don't know, not cleaner, but that would have been a much better taina for me to make, because then I wouldn't be looking so bad, and I'd be able to get out. So the Shmaitza says, well, it wouldn't help. Meaning, if she would have a taina of Riyas Dam Machmas Tashmish, so then maybe we'd force her to bring a raya in that case. But there are ways of sort of arranging that. The Ksam Sofri says she can claim Riyas Dam Machmas Tashmish and get a cat from the and have a cat kill a cat and use the dam of the cat to show that she was Riyas Dam Machmas Tashmish. I mean, she could fake it somehow. Okay. Or he just says we wouldn't accept that because the taina would not work if she's trying to remove herself permanently. So that taina is out, so therefore we're left with this, and here is the and do we accept it, do we not accept it? So Rav Moshe, in one of Aryeh Leibowitz's Ask from the Rabbi's Desk issues, he did ask a couple of months ago, he had the following shaila, so which this brings to. So there was a guy whose parents were from, he grew up and he was a Kohen. Of course, all these cases have to happen to Kohanim. And the guy became not religious, and he started dating a girl that he was usher to as a Kohen. I forget what the details, she was a Krusher. Some reason he wasn't allowed to marry her because he was a Kohen. And he was dating her, and he's like, oh, whatever, I want to marry her. Off the ODT. So his mother pulls him aside one day and says, you know, I also gave up on someone I was in love with for the sake of religion. Because before I was religious, when I was in college, I was dating a non-Jew, and we were very, very serious. And I realized I couldn't marry him because he's not Jewish. So so I gave up. I wasn't Orthodox then, but for the sake of I knew it was wrong to do intermarriage, so I gave up on that relationship. So the guy said, "Huh, that's very interesting. Wait a second, you were dating seriously, like in college and after college or grads, whatever, for that period of your life, you were dating a non-Jew. Right, that means that I'm not a Kohen. That means I'm a Kohen. That means you weren't allowed to marry Dad, and therefore and you did. So now I'm not a Kohen. Therefore, I'm allowed to marry her. The only problem is,
sorry,
because she's a Kohen. She becomes a Zona. She was with a non-Jew in college, right? Then she marries a Kohen. So he's a Chalal. Right. So now he's a Chalal. He's allowed to marry this girl. So
basically, the mother was
not the spelling
down
for me, I guess.
Right.
He was not there to know that, the Kuda, but.
Well, he learned in yeshiva, and then he went on, right? He learned divamos, and then he left. So now he says, great, so I'm allowed to marry her. The only problem is you're not allowed to stay married to Dad, right? Because as soon as Dad finds out about this, right, or if he would find out about it, realize what's going on, that means that you guys are not allowed to remain married together. So. Technically, yes. Meaning, if a Kohen is married to a Zona, so yeah, they're not allowed to stay married, then he goes back to being a Kohen. And now, if he does stay married to her, so he technically loses his...
Marcus 101.
Okay.
Daf Beis.
Okay. Yeah. So he's married to... Right, so that's the scenario. So is there a way now, he said he didn't get the shot. This was just being discussed in the Basin of America. So I actually did send him a note on Friday, said, did this ever get, so he goes through the shir, some of these issues. Actually, this is really this for Moshe, and then we'll go a little bit beyond that. Basin didn't really get an answer on this. I also asked Itamar Rosenzweig if he came across this in the basin. He hadn't gotten back to me yet either. But anyways, so that is sort of the Shaila hovering this. So then Rav Moshe has half of the Shaila. What's Rav Moshe's half of the Shaila? Which the other half might change it for this case. But Rav Moshe's Shaila is as follows. That there's also a similar case where there's a guy who wants to marry. Sounds like the family's not religious here. There's a boy who wants to marry the... wants to marry a girl who he's usher to. Also, the boy is a Kohen. How does he know that he's a Kohen? He says, well, because his father is a Kohen, his grandfather is a Kohen, etc. Now, his father wasn't religious at all. But they just know that that's the tradition in the family, that the grandfather, as he describes in the first family, the grandfather in Deutschland, back in Germany, so the grandfather was known to be a Kohen, and he has in fact on his matseva, they have a picture of the sounds like of the matseva of the grandfather where he has the hands on top of his kever, and lo and behold, Upa, right, Germany. So Upa apparently claimed to be a Kohen and was called up as a Kohen, etc. So now this boy is a Kohen. So they ask Rav Moshe. So they ask Rav Moshe. He says, "Well, first of all, what do we know about the mom? That's first of all that this boy's mom may have also been the same thing. May have been a Zona before she got married. But beyond that, they have evidence from Uma. Apparently, Upa is dead, and Uma is still alive. And Uma, while in Germany, talks about all these guys that she used. That she lived quite the life apparently before she settled down with Upa, and she has no problem talking about all of her exploits that she did while." Living in Germany before going ahead and marrying Uma. The only problem is, the only evidence that we have for that is Uma, right? Uma is still alive, Upa is dead. So, right, so does Uma have nemanus to make these claims that she was...
Why wouldn't she? What's the reason on her? What's the benefit for her to say how she was promiscuous?
Well, the benefit is that now her grandson can marry...
She knew why he's asking,
so that's part of the answer. So Rav Moshe is.
Does Rav Moshe mean the Chavos Yair about the Matzeva? Rabbi Brisson Lushan once told me that we don't use the Matzeva as a raya.
Okay. So this is more than that. This has a chazaka as well.
But the fact that the Metzeva has the hands on it, that's not, the Chavis Yoreh says it's not a...
It's not a raya, but it is. I think it probably is a reyesa. It doesn't mean anything. I think most of us can assume that we do.
I'm just telling what you think.
Not that we necessarily say that. Oh, therefore he was a kohen. I think we do say though. We better look into whether he was a kohen or not. I think that's at least there's all sorts of other shilas in rabbinic lore about about finding the hands and being like, oy vey, now we got to figure this out. So as we are kind of already 10, so Rav Moshe, this is one of the ones where he took, you know, like major shoulders, because again, mom probably had also had some issues beforehand, and now grandma says that she did. So first, Rav Moshe does go into the Ran, and here's where he says that the Ran himself rejects reason number one. That's his read. He says reason number one is not true. Rather, we paskin like number two. And that is, positive number two, that really mi'ikar din, she is not believed. It's just that, well, she has, this additional, you know, what woman would embarrass herself like that? So Rav Moshe is actually challenged by, well, is she embarrassed at all? Right? If the premise of number two is that, well, she has to bring a raya, why would she be believed at all? Because, well, she might be, embarrassed, etc. But here, she's like, happy to tell all of the stories about before the war, how she used to go with all these guys, non-Jews, and things like that. But Rosh says, come on, every woman, you know, so the rabbis call her in and say, okay, could you please tell us a little bit more about that, right? So presumably she would have a little bit of shame, but yet she's going ahead and telling it anyways. But whatever. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe at the end is like, that's certainly enough to go on, right? The end of the line probably said, "Lahol umdana zu lifsol haben mikahuna afilu bistam nashi sheyesh lahem cheskas kashrus." That there's this umdana zu to passel the ben from kahuna. Even bistam nashi sheyesh lahem cheskas kashrus. And certainly by the Benosa reformer, how you do them over Malkol Torkula, certainly they have that umdana to assume that she would be okay. So that is the so that case is fine. Now we still don't have this case, right? We still don't have the case that we're talking about, where the parents, right, the Rav Moshe's case is that she is that the woman is the, you know, the woman is not married, the kohen is dead already. So we're not really pulling anybody apart from each other. And certainly if Uma is correct, so the parents, even though the woman, the mom is also saying that she, etc. So she, that case as well, they're gonna be able to stay together. So you're not pulling anybody apart. The question then comes in, okay, well, what about that? Meaning, what, and does, like, sort of subjective believability play a role? Meaning, do we look at this person and say, I don't know, do I believe it, do I not? Like, does that make a difference? So there's a Gemara Maseches Kedushin that tells the following story. Right? The woman was Mizana, and there was a private investigator that was watching her, and she's quiet. Right? So what happens in that case? Right? We have one guy coming and saying, so Amar Abai Neman, Rav Amar Inu Neman. Abai says, believed. Rav says, he's not believed. Havi Davashir Be'erva, right? Plus, if against the rule, right, you need to aid them to change the Devar Shei Be'erva. So Amar Abai Mina Aminala. So where did I get this from? That he is believed. Said the Hu Sami to have Masatir Masnaisa Kami de Marshmul. That there was a blind person that was coming to appear in front of Shmuel to, like, say the Mishnayis. So Yomachad Nagale V'lo Havachasi. So one day they're waiting for him, he hadn't come. So Shadr Shlicha Basri. So Shmuel sends a shliach to go get this blind guy to show up to yeshiva already. So as the Azil Shliach B'chadu Orcha Asa Ihu B'chadu. So the blind guy, I don't know, I guess the seeing eye dog led him one direction, and the shliach went in the other direction, right? So he's going down one block, and the shliach goes the other block in order to go find him. So they miss each other. So the blind guy shows up, and the shliach didn't show up. Meanwhile, the shliach comes back 10 minutes later and says, we have a problem. Yasa shliach amar ishto zinsa. He says, it's interesting, after you left the house, this other guy comes in, and your wife was zana with this other guy, right? So the shliach, who was coming to knock on the door to get him, right, apparently, right, she happens upon this other guy coming in and being mizana with the woman, right? It's pretty amazing what was going on in Pumbedisa in those times. So Asa Lakame Demar Shmuel. So they show up, and they come in front of Shmuel and say, "What do we do here?" So Amar Lei. So he says, "Imehiman Leich Zil Afka V'Lo Lo Tafik." So Shmuel says, "Well, do you believe him?" Right? Turns to the blind guy. Do you believe him? Right? If you believe him, so then you gotta go. If you don't, so then you don't have to go. Right? It's objective. So, my love, imehiman alach delav gazlanahu. So, imehiman alach delav gazlanahu. That if he believes him, he's not a, delav gazlanahu, I guess he wouldn't be considered to be stolen, I guess. I'm not sure. So, varava imehiman lech kvetre zil afkavi lo lo tafka. So, what about, how does Rava deal with this case of Shmuel? So, Rava say, well, if you believe her, so then that's going to be, that, then you're believing her like two witnesses. But if not, so then you would not have to leave. So, this seems to be the ultimate psak in Shulchan Aruch in these cases. In Simon Kuf Ayin Ches and Ibn Ezer. That's like where you pull open Shulchan Aruch Ibn Ezer and like the dust comes out. It's the last Simon in Ibn Ezer. Like after Hilchus Yibim, after Hilchus after Sidur again, all these things, right? The last, like where the Piskei Tshuva is very hard to read. So the Shulchan Aruch here says as follows: Lo kinala, so the case of Isota, and there was no kinoi, right? Uva idacha v'amrula zinsu, right? And one aid comes and says she was mazana v'hisho seka, she's quiet. Imhu neman be'inav v'daso somechas alav kishnayim yotzin v'yitin ksuva. So Mechaber Paskins, if he comes and he's believed, and the husband says, "I think he's right. Like, what can I do? I believe him." So she would leave, and she would leave her ksuba. V'imlav muterislo. Comes the Rama and says, "V'uadinim hiatzmo merislo zeshazinza." And the Rama says, "Not only that, even if she herself says that she was mizana, as we see kuftasvav sivav, right? This idea is discussed there as well. So v'yesh omrim bizman hazeh." But this Rama, this part of the Rama is not mentioned over there. So Vyesh Omrim comes to Rama and says, the Bizman Hazesh Shechir Rabinu Gershom Shulo Lagarish Isha Bal Korcho Eino Neman Lomar Shemamina O Shemamin Ladivrei Eid. He says, but nowadays we have something called the Chirim Rabinu Gershom. So what's the Chirim Rabinu Gershom? So one part of the most famous part is that a man's not allowed to marry two wives. The less famous part, but still pretty famous, is that not only is she is in order to protect the woman, right, she is no longer allowed to be Megarish Bal Korcha. Right? So the guy's only allowed to have one wife, so he'll take one, divorce her, take another one, divorce her, etc. So in order to protect the woman, we said, you're not Shalol Legarish Isha Bal Korcha. She can't be divorced against her will. So here, the guy is going to come out with a chap, right? Oh, so instead of me saying, just divorcing her, because I want to, I have to figure out a way to make it impossible for us to stay married. I know, I'll get one aide to come and say that she was mizana. So, so therefore, we don't say that he can believe the one aid anymore, right? Because if he's just going to believe her, so then it's going to be in violation of the Zechirim Derbeinu Gershom. Why? Because maybe he really wants to marry another girl. He's going to say that he believes her even though he doesn't. That doesn't mean the halacha really falls away. It just means that he's now really the halacha is right, but we're just not trusting. We don't trust him that he trusts her. Right? We don't really believe that. Not only that, the Rama continues on. Umandinoso al sheomer shema mina vegarm levatel chayim rabbeinu gershom. Right, and we force him until to say umandinoso. We put in nidoy the guy who says that we do believe her. Right, if the guy says I believe her, we say you don't. And he says no, I do. You don't. Right, and we beat him up until he says he doesn't. In any case where he wants to get divorced without the das of the isha, we assume he doesn't believe it. And not only that, we force him to be with her. Right? We force him to stay married and to have bia, right? To live a married life, even though he's saying, "What do you mean? I have this aid telling me that she was with the other guy." Nope. You gotta stay with her, right? Aval yishkolkin v'sirluhu daf bizman hazeh neman, but there are those that disagree that say that no, even bizman hazeh that she would be neman, and if there is a fight between them, so that would be less likely to be neman because then it's more likely that he's using it as an excuse. So the thrust of this Rama is that, well, like technically she would have nemanas to make this claim, but because of the chayim derbeinu gershim and other concerns, so now we're going to reject it. So this Rama then is accepted in the following crazy case, which is a case that you hear about in rabbinic lore. My father actually met somebody in that print. My father's somewhat in the printing business. I came and met someone who is in charge of the printing of Rav Zilberstein's tshuvas. My father asked him, "So is it true that all like all the cases like are true?" He says, "You know, like, or do you make some of them up?" He says, "We don't make any of them up." So I said, yeah, you don't make any of them up, but it could be someone else made them up and sent them in. I mean, I'm not sure, you know. So this is like one of these legendary cases that you can read the Shaila, he makes it all dramatic and things like that, but we don't have time to make it so dramatic. But the case is that they go to, there's a couple getting married, and while during pictures before the wedding, the guy's great grandfather and the woman's great grandmother get to talking, and they realize that they're from the same city in Europe. Not only that, they went to the same camp during the war. Not only that, then they realized that they actually were married to each other before the war. Right? The two of them had kedushin to each other, and they were married. That's the way the case is. And they were both saved by some miraculous way. Anybody who survived like a camp there are miracles that are involved, but they were both saved in a miraculous way. They both assumed that the other one died. They both had heter agunos, it says, which, okay. That's, how that worked out, is a question, but they both went on and got married. And now they both had inklach, that royal shomer Torah mitzvahs, and now they met each other. What? And one of the sides is mamzerim, right? His sides are in mamzerim, and her side is mamzerim, right? So on one side it's mom, the other side is dad. So what do we do in that case?
Because they were married.
You never had four.
Yeah. They were married, never got a get, and lo and behold, she, right.
Heter guna
doesn't get a latte.
I don't
think so. What? It just says she's allowed to get married.
No.
It's a mistake.
Right, it's even worse. Right, it's even worse that everybody is mamzerim in that case, right? That's Isha Rabba, that's the case. She comes and says, my husband is dead.
Heter guna is saying that you have a lawful permission to get married, but doesn't, if we see the fact afterwards that we made a mistake, so it doesn't make a mistake.
Isn't this the Shmaitz of this whole Indian of the Sakri and the halakhic reality, where you say,
No. But there specifically, it's not the case.
No.
But that's what the Isha Rab is about. That it's all premised on the Isha Daikum. I think I gave a chabura on this once upon a time, right? Isha Daikum. It's about the woman's required to look in and investigate, and part of the pressure to do that is the whole list of knasos that are going to be thrown upon her. So the knasos don't. So obviously, it doesn't disappear just because she was able to convince the judges. So Rav Zilberstein says, I asked Rav Yashav. There must be a longer shuv about this someplace because this is just like. I asked Rabbi Yashav, he said, yeah, you're right. Her family's all mamzerim. You know? Come on, what do you want me to do? Right? That she's believed. And the children are, and they're usher level bakal. And what do you want me to do about it? That sounds like the extent of that, like from here, that sounds like the extent of his tshuvas. So he says, he says, but then I asked my father-in-law, right? I asked Rav Yashav, but the children, are they mechuyev to believe the story? Meaning, maybe the children just say they don't believe. Like, or maybe we should convince them not to believe. I mean, that's the part of the Chayim Geshem. Tell the kids, listen, you know, don't believe her. I don't know. Forget about it. Like it didn't happen, and just don't believe her. So they said, well, no, you can't do that. The idea of not believing her, of kind of folk trying to make sure not believe her, that's because there's value on the other side. But here, there's no value on the other side. The woman's not married anymore, right? Great grandma, Bubby is not married to anybody anymore. So there's no pressure in that way. But he says, Lamaisa, if they don't believe her, then there is that out. Meaning, they say we don't believe you, then she's not going to be believed. It's not going to be believed to her. It says not only that, but they could pick and choose. Meaning, some kids could say, "Ah, come on, I was with Safta last week, and she was remembering everything. She remembered her street name from Europe that she grew up on, and everything is fine." The other one's saying, "Are you kidding me? She started rattling off. She thinks Richard Nixon is still the president of the United States or something, right?" She's in another world, right? So it could have some kids saying yes, some kids saying no, and he says that that's okay. They don't have to be all in one way or all in the other way. He says to the extent that this is the last thing he says here is, the wild is that one of the grandchildren believes her and the other one doesn't, right? So, I mean, now this is the fourth generation. So now you have two second cousins, potentially, that are in this mix. One of them says, well, I'm a mamzer. What am I supposed to do? I guess I'll marry my second cousin. The second cousin's like, I'm not a mamzer. I don't believe grandma. Are you crazy? Right? So he says, it's okay. They're both still allowed to marry each other. Because l'shitaschem, according to each of their shitas, the other one is okay. Now, I don't know what happens to their children in that case, but he throws that out there. So ultimately, he says that you are allowed to believe them. That it's sort of subjective to who believes what. Now, this Nodeb Yehuda is longer here. It's quoted in the Piskei Tshuvas on that On that siman Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbi Yehuda is like, but Yishal Davar Sof, meaning if his case is, and there is a Chavos Yartha, when you start saying Chavos Yartha, this is what you're talking about. The Chavos Yartha says that if she does this B'derech Vidui, meaning she comes and she repents in this way, then like that's already Raglayim L'davar, to say that no, she really is telling the truth. So the Rabbi Yehuda here has the case where like the woman was dying, or thought she was dying, and on her deathbed she said, you know, this happened once and I feel really bad about it, but I was, you know, unfaithful at some point. And then she gets better. And now they're like, she said this thing, and he heard her, and they both believed each other, and now they're better. So they show up in front of the rabbi and say, what are we supposed to do? So the rav is like, well, he starts pulling out this ramah. We're supposed to defend it and convince them not to believe each other, etc. And then Yehuda is like, come on. You're going to tell a guy, all right, tell a woman, a man and woman that know that they're usher to each other, don't believe your whatever, and go and sleep together. Like, how could that be? And Nodi Yehuda says, like, if that's the case already, that there really are Raglayim L'davar, then like, I'm sorry, like it only goes so far. You're not going to be able to stay married. The one thing that where you would draw the line, the Nishvas of Ram here. So he has the Shaila of. Everything has to be a doctor in the Nishmas of Ram. So a doctor is examining the woman and sees that she has some sexually transmitted, some kind of STD, right? That's obviously not from the husband. So is the doctor now mechuyev to tell the father? Besides the fact that he's going to lose his license. But is he somehow mechuyev to get word to the father, that the husband, I mean, that you're usher to her? And in that case, so he quotes from a Ben Ish Chai, which is here at the bottom of the page, the Rav Palayim, that when there's a third party involved, then they would not. I mean, that seems to be the premise. I mean, so a third party, even though it's obvious to the member of the third party that that she was with another guy and therefore it's going to be us, he builds a sveika that, you know, maybe they're not together, whatever. He builds a somewhat questionable sveika based on what we've learned about this. But anyways, he says that already, like, you don't really know what's going on, and therefore you're off the hook. So when the two parties are involved and they both know what they know, so it seems like there we stand by the no de Yehuda that the marriage would have to be ended, but once there's a third party involved that's coming and giving the evidence, so that he has to then go and present the evidence and convince them, so it seems like that the Masorah is to not go ahead and present that. Okay, so.
Did anybody mention that Hanan is not as
suffering in first place?
The Rabbanan, because one of the real.
Yes, sir, Rabbi Luke. No, it's not really Al Durabana. Right. So I don't think we assume, you put in the word Durabana. I don't think even they say it's Durabana. I mean, I think that there is they're Kohanim Chazakim as opposed to Kohanim Miyuchasim, right? That's the rule. So there are these Shitas out there. I believe was actually mentioned this. I've heard this as well, that if you bring a case like this, there's a case like this boiling in my shul also, which I might have to get to. But there are certain poskim that if you present one of these cases, they'll say, we don't believe any Kohanim. Which is a real problem, because what about the brother? Right?
Like you said, right, no, this one can take it.
Right. So that might be the way, that might be where you're pulling this in. You're saying, well, one guy believes, one guy doesn't. Yeah, but if what's motivating you to believe it is that this girl that I want to marry, right, that's a little, a little more questionable at that point. But there are poskim out there that make that say that, we just throw all these cases out. I don't think, at least within my Masorah Upsak, that would be acceptable just on the face like that. But
maybe not sure. Smith or somebody else. Yeah.
Right.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
So in general, the father says, my child.